Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. There's no shortage of activities in downtown Tulsa this week, from Mayfest and the Blue Dome Festival to Living Arts Art Car Weekend. In addition to the Art Car Weekend, Living Arts is also presenting a provocative performance piece several years in the making in conjunction with their Crossing Borders group exhibition devoted to immigration issues. The Taco Truck Theater, or Teatro Sin Fronteras Project, is a performance piece by frequent Living Arts guest Jose Torres Tama, a New Orleans-based visual and performance artist. Taco Truck Theater is inspired by Luis Valdez's Teatro Campesino, which performed on a flatbed truck in 1960s-era California to bring attention to that state's migrant farm worker population. In this case, a repurposed box truck has been turned into a mobile stage and taco truck to explore the immigration crisis and the recent wave of anti-immigration sentiment. Torres Tama will bring his Art Futero ensemble, featuring musicians and spoken word artists, along with three local Hispanic voices to tell the story of those with no voices. Each ensemble member will bring his or her perspective to the immigration crisis, and the performance will be driven by an eclectic music soundbed that accompanies the spoken word poems, solo pieces, and collective vignettes. Jose Torres Tama is my guest today, along with a young writer and poet, Amirani Perez, who is a dreamer who came to the United States at a young age. They join us today to talk about this piece, which takes place at 7 o'clock both Thursday and Friday at Living Arts. That's when the food truck opens, and then the performance begins at 8. Amirani and Jose, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
I am deeply grateful to be here back. I am back, my friends.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Now, you've been coming back and forth from Tulsa for a while over the last year.
Since 2013 for this project, but mm-hmm. I first performed at the New Genre Festival back in 1998 when Steve Liggett heard about my work and called me out of the blue to come to the New Genre Festival back then. And I opened then for James Luna at the Performing Arts Center, and it was an amazing crowd. And I was performing my piece, Casino America, back then.
Yeah. Now, this piece, Taco Truck Theater, or Teatro Sin Frontera, has been in the works for what, about 2 or 3 years?
It's been in the works since 2013 here at Living Arts. Uh-huh. I had begun the project already by 2010, 2011, with interviews that I've been doing of the immigrant communities, not just here in Tulsa, but in Houston, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C., and New Orleans. These are 5 cities where I have received commissions from the National Performance Network to begin developing this chronicle of interviews of our undocumented people. So documenting our undocumented brothers and sisters during this time of persecution.
It's interesting. Since the election of 2016, a lot of people are thinking about immigration issues. But really, you said this began in 2013, and we have to remember that the last presidency was the one in which we deported more undocumented immigrants
yes.
than any other administration before.
It was tragic. The son of an African immigrant rises to the captain's chair with the support of a growing Latino electorate and actually betrays them and deports close to 3 million people, undocumented people. We in the activist national community, we called them the deporter-in-chief. So I always expressed before, and I'll say it within this piece, that I always found myself between Barack and the GOP hard place on immigration reform. And what, unfortunately, Barack Obama did, tragically, he left a well-oiled human expulsion machine, an apparatus, that was actually implemented through the Bush administration when they restructured INS, Immigration and Natural Services, into ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, under the Homeland Security. And that's where ICE, the current deportation police, act almost like a secret police without a lot of checks and balances.
And of course, now the Obama administration did try to get through a DREAM Act for the children of undocumented workers who came here very early in life. And Amirani, you're a dreamer, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Yeah. This last 5 months has probably been a really interesting time in your life because, you know, you had this sort of protection, and that protection seems to be not as protective as it was, at the very least.
Yes. Actually, I'm part of a Hispanic Student Association, and the day after the election, we had all the members kind of gathered together, and it was a very sad experience because many of them were crying. They didn't know what to feel or how to feel about anything. And We just had to gather as people because it's, as a human, it's something really hard to go through, just kind of like a stage of uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen. And it's just, it's something very hard to deal with.
Now, Jose, you began working on this and started collecting interviews in, what, 2013?
2010, actually, for Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers. And what happened is I began a docu-theater process to really look. Now, I'm an Ecuadorian immigrant, right, and a naturalized U.S. citizen. But let's forget. Let's really look to remember, because we love to forget in the United States of amnesia. It's a system that seduces people to embrace forgetting. So let's not forget that the pilgrims arrived without papers. Why were they not deported? Let's not forget that these are native lands. Here we are in Tulsa, right? Home of the Cherokee Nation, the Muskogee, and the people who were actually removed through the Indian Removal Act. Let's not mix any words. I have a character named Pachuco. He's like, orale, the Indian Removal Act. They were straight up. They weren't even trying to be euphemistic or be subtle. They could have called it Operation Iraqi Freedom, no? Right. And Andrew Jackson, who hated the native people, they called him the Indian killer. And you celebrate by putting him on your $20 bill. Let's remember, Indian Removal Act. And then you have your Sooners. Let's talk about them, right? The land rush, and you celebrate them because they broke the line and they ran and got the land that was already promised to the native people. I'm just trying to remember you a little abuse of power, and this is just an extensive little
abuse. This is one of the characters in your piece, right? Yeah. Well, so you began collecting this interview. What sort of information were you trying to glean from talking with this population?
They're really quite amazing. I have collected stories of immigrants, the perils of crossing the border. I tell two of them here. I finished this piece with two amazing stories of immigrant folks associated with the St. Francis of Xavier Church here, Padre Medina's church, two young men whom I interviewed in 2013 who tell gripping stories. One, 25-year-old young man crossing the border, but when he crossed, he was 22. With a group of a dozen or 17, they get lost for 5 days in the Arizona desert. He tells that story. Another young man from Honduras crossing the border, but then eventually gets kidnapped by a cartel. And he tells that story. I've interviewed people in Minneapolis telling stories of extreme border abuse by the patrol agents who treat them like garbage. And let's remember that no human being is illegal. You know, this is a country that applauds itself for being a country of immigrants, right? The Statue of Liberty. What does it say? Give us your tired, give us your wretched, give us your poor, give us your huddled masses yearning to be free.
When you were in character there a moment ago, you sort of alluded to this sort of correlation between the Sooners, which, you know, in Oklahoma we celebrate, the people that had the gumption, really, the wherewithal to say, I'm going to get the best land and break the law to come into Oklahoma when the territories opened up. Can you maybe discuss that correlation between immigrants coming in today, undocumented, as we say, breaking the law to get to a land of promise?
Let's talk about the beginning of the breaking the law here, to turn the land into private property. Let's not forget that this is all native land. Let's not forget that the beacon of democracy called the United States was founded on the near-genocide extermination of native people. That's a fact. It's not fake news. It's not alternative facts. Let's not forget that the same beacon of democracy was built on the enslavement of Africans. That's a fact. That's not alternative. That's not fake news. Now, I live in New Orleans, the slave port Catholic city supposedly founded by the French and the Spanish, who were slave traders, right? Yeah. The slave port Catholic city, which you enjoy coming to see its jazz music, created under oppression during Jim Crow South, right? So, as a renegade scholar, I'm all about remembering. Let's not forget that also right now in Oklahoma, for those of you who may not realize, but Oklahoma actually used to be part of Mexico. Yes, indeed, folks. This is the news that you're not getting, and your post office will not bring it to you, and neither will CNN, neither will NBC News, and neither will Fox and Friends. Oklahoma, let's not forget, the expansion during Manifest Destiny was to expand the United States and actually invade the northern territories of Mexico and appropriate them from Texas all the way to California, including Oklahoma. It used to be Mexico, carnalitos.
My guest today is Jose Torres Tama of the Art Futuro Ensemble, a performance artist from New Orleans, and Amarani Perez, a local poet who will be participating in this theatrical event, which is pretty much unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's called Taco Truck Theater or Teatro Sin Frontera Project, Theater Without Borders. It takes place Thursday and Friday at Living Arts of Tulsa. Now, let's talk about how this Taco Truck Theater began. It began with a food truck that, I guess, came into Living Arts possession, correct?
So here's what happened.
All right.
And just know that Amarani is a really brilliant poet, and she's going to be performing her poems collectively with the other ensemble members from here, Jordan Mazariegos, another dreamer, and also Sally Ramirez, an activist and an artist. Really all both brilliant poets and activists. And the ensemble includes my musicians that just came in from New Orleans, my ensemble members for Arte Futuro Ensemble, Monica McIntyre, a brilliant cellist, poet, and pianist, who just adds tremendous dimension with her cello playing and her own voice and poetic contributions. And Michael Ward Bergman, who's the accordionist and multi-instrumentalist with a djembe. So we had a sound bed that's really seductive to all this work. And that's one of the things that I've been working on, is bringing music into the fold. So we do everything from Tejano to even Zydeco in the background, mm-hmm. that really takes the poetry and the performance and the rituals and the monologues to another level. It seduces you the way music does. So in 2013 at the National Performance Network Conference, I had already been saying it a couple of times, yeah. I pronounced, and there's a moment where you can call in the works what artists are thinking of doing. And this was a radical idea of mine, because I had already done Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers, my solo. Also, again, you asked me something. It was imbued with real-life stories, because I wanted to begin telling the real-life stories to make a dehumanized people human. That has been my goal since really 9/11, when the anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim, you know, just flared up. That blind nationalism by that previous administration, right? Yeah. We have to look at the history, the way it's tied together. So I began realizing that it would be really important to tell the human stories of our people who have been dehumanized. Because above all, there's a couple of really strong logos that we have, mottos. No human being is illegal, and no guacamole for immigrant haters.
Right. Is this the theme of the show?
That's the theme. And we're going to have food, and we're going to check your voting records at the same time.
So get back to this taco truck. Somebody donated a truck.
I've got the idea. Living Arts in 2013 heard it, and Steve Liggett said to me, I really love this idea. Let's see. I've got the Art Car Festival. Let's see about making this happen. So I got the Creation Fund to begin doing research. And back then, Living Arts put the word out. We're looking for someone to donate a truck. And we had a possibility, but then that didn't fall through. But just last summer, we had another gentleman come forth, and he donated the truck to Living Arts. I came to Living Arts. I picked up the truck in January, and it's a GMC box truck. Mm-hmm. So the Taco Truck Theater, we don't sell the food. We align with a local vendor who sells the food right next to us. We have the truck, and we pull out the stage. What we are feeding people with is great stories, but there will be food. Mm-hmm. So we're feeding you with human stories. So we got the truck donated. I took it to New Orleans, and we began painting it, and we began transforming it into a mobile theater.
And so you have this mobile theater, but wherever you're doing this performance piece, you're working with local artists, and Amarani is one of those. I guess the piece that you had done a video, right?
I did a separate video. That piece isn't in this one, but I just have several
but
pieces.
That's how you came to attention to Jose, right? Was through a video project?
Yes. Actually, Sally, who is on that project and is on our project right now, she recommended me to Jose, and she was the one that got the word out for me that perhaps I could work well with this theater.
Yeah.
She sent me the poems, by the way, and they were brilliant. I said yes, I called her up right away. Because the idea is always to include local voices, poets and performers and activists and dreamers, so that we don't just come in and present the ensemble from New Orleans, but we engage the community. Because for me, it's really important to empower the local community voices and activists like hers. She's a brilliant poet.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your poetry. What inspired you to begin writing?
I started writing when I was very young. It was more of like Freeverse, when I was in high school, I really wanted to get into slam poetry and start like a group, but it was just something that wasn't cultivated in our environment. And so now that I've been getting more into art, I'm a film artist, so I do film, and just being able to delve more artistically into political issues, I always think that if what I'm doing or what I'm saying isn't saying something that can make a change, then it's not really, it doesn't have any meaning to me. And so that's how I started writing. Maybe when I was getting out of high school, that's when I really started putting some of the poems, some of these performance pieces together.
And that idea of making a difference, have you seen it work?
Yes. So in college, I just graduated from TCC, and there we have our Hispanic Student Association. And it started out very small, but once you realize how many people there are out there that need somebody to advocate for them, and then along with Dream Act, which we have here in Tulsa, which is an organization that helps people, the Tulsa artists are all part of that. And so we're able to go into these communities within our own state and see the families that don't have anybody to speak for them, the mothers who need somebody to stand up for them. It's so hard being here as a human being and not having anybody there for you.
Yeah. So, through this process, I assume that the two of you have been collaborating, and you've been collaborating with all the people, the local folks. What has that process been like, Amirani?
Yeah, so when Jose reached out, he started telling me more about the project, and right now we're in the middle of rehearsals, and so we're able to connect on a different level of what our pieces mean. It's such a spiritual process just to be there and to actually become the pieces. They're not just words on paper. They're actual performance. It's you're becoming the art. You're becoming your own words.
Now, you were involved in slam, so performance has been a part of your work for a while, right?
Yes.
But how's this different?
This is taking it up a whole nother notch. You're on a different mindset. It's not just standing there and reading. You're vocalizing with your body. It's just so much more movement than just standing and reading a piece.
And you also have music with it. Now, is that something you've ever worked with before?
No, I haven't. I'm a big fan of music. So once our crew, the rest of our music ensemble arrives today, so being able to have that extra, that thing that just brings everything together is going to be so much incredible.
Now, Jose, how do you make sure that the music reinforces the message? You have all this, you're going to have all this theatricality involved with these performances. How can you make sure that, like on a spoken word artist or a spoken word performance, that you're enhancing and not detracting? Is that a big issue in a piece like this?
It is and it isn't. We're working with really brilliant musicians, Monica McIntyre on cello and vocal and poet. She's a performer herself. Monica is a non-binary being. Mm-hmm. Monica's a brilliant, brilliant performer, and Michael is a brilliant accordionist, and we all know how to work with poets and musicians. And again, for people that are out there, it's a performance. So it's without paper. It's not a poetry reading. Yeah. It's an actual performance. The performer's work is memorized like in a theatrical piece. It's performed with body, full vignettes, full costuming. It's a performance ritual. So when I start working with a poet like Amirani, I engage Amirani and I engage Sally and Jordan to go and flesh out the pieces further, also collectively putting their poems together or their pieces together and creating an ensemble. It's a vignette, so it's not one person just after the other. And we create a sound that just enhances all of the music, all of the poetry, all of the performance monologues and the vignettes with this dynamic sound bed. So it works out really quite beautifully, and I have musical experts that have been working with me, and they know how, and we know how to be able to work with it, and we're going to be working with all the ensemble here. We already have parts of the script that was already built in New Orleans. So what we do at each venue to make sure that we include local community voices and that we actually adopt a piece in relationship to Oklahoma and its entire history. Mm-hmm. We have a brilliant African-American performance poet that will also be on there, Deborah Hunter. And we also explored the black and brown parallel struggle. As you know, in Tulsa, things have exploded with the particular case that just happened, Terrence Crutcher.
Terrence Crutcher.
Uh-huh. Right, so the project also deals with that black and brown struggle because we're looking at the clear and present danger of an administration that has made us the enemy, people of color the enemy. Let's be very clear about all of that, right? And women are the enemy as well. So we have the voices of women, we have the voices of women of color, and we've been rehearsing with them since Sunday, right? So we've already been doing physical rehearsals. So again, it's a performance. So it's not just it's not a poetry reading, it's a performance. Yeah. So everything's embodied and performed and taking it to a very different experimental theater level.
Let me ask you, you've already performed this in New Orleans in March. And I think of New Orleans today, and it's, you know, you're in the national news as well for the Confederate statues that are coming down and the blowback from, you know, citizens that don't want those statues to leave. When you performed this piece, did you get a reaction from those that don't agree with your point of view?
You know, I've been performing my solo show, Aliens, Immigrants, and Other Evildoers, to strong audiences and really strong critical acclaim across the country since 2010, and I was just at Touchstone Theater before the elections, and we had some packed houses. We sold out the opening night, and that was the solo piece. That's me, but it's also added with sci-fi. It's a sci-fi Latino noir. We have films by other artists, incredible lighting, so there's always other ingredients, other collaborators. I just happen to be one person on stage doing 10 different characters, and most people are like, wow, you know, have you thought about inviting, you know, other folks that may not agree? I said, you know, I was waiting for an invitation from the GOP convention, but I never got that, right? So I'm always open to everyone experiencing
Well, but when you're doing something like Out This on the Street, you're more likely to see people that may not necessarily agree with the point of view.
You know,
have you found that to be the case?
In New Orleans, when we did the shows, now New Orleans is a blue city in a red state, right? And I'm performing in the downtown area. And we had all kinds of people experience the work. But I think they're seduced by the stories and the music and the visual impact that they're just engaged. It's not like, you know, we're presenting a diatribe. We're presenting a creative experience that really engages you and also breaks that fourth wall continuously. You know, I come out with the first character is a petition to Elegua, right, to Legba, to open up the crossroads. So it's very spiritual. I've got these achacapas, these indigenous palmed leaves. They're like instruments, and they're used for shamanistic purposes, and it opens up the space. It's a very spiritually and visually engaging piece, orally and musically. So we haven't encountered anyone yelling so far.
Yeah.
It could happen. We bring up all kinds of things. Now, there's also a lot of humor that really plays with all of it.
Right.
So I think we create a seductive full piece. In addition, you're getting to eat tacos here by Felix Lopez, who's going to bring his taco truck here. And Tacos al Gorilla, that's his truck. And you know, there's going to be outdoor and parking and living arts, and then eventually we migrate into the living arts space.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll wait to see.
No, I just wonder because, you know, your rhetoric, you know, it's strong. And I would just imagine it's one thing if you're in a theater and you're sort of, in a way, sort of preaching to the choir. But when you're out on a street corner, anybody can see that. And there might be somebody who disagrees completely.
Yeah. But know that it's always poetic. It's not just rhetoric. I'm not just out there on the microphone, you know, like preaching resistance. The piece itself speaks in a very powerful way. But it immediately seduces you into a creative experience. So you don't know what's going on. Right. And I think that counters everything else because we seduce audiences with what we're doing. Right. With the poetic pieces that we're doing with the music, people get seduced into it. They don't know some people on the streets. Now, granted, we are on the streets, but we're performing within the Living Arts parking lot here.
Right.
And over in New Orleans, we performed one of the biggest spaces was in front of a place called the Art Garage. So there's an art center. There's like an art gallery there. We pull out the stage and we are in the streets, you know, with the car parked on the sidewalk and the stage pulled out.
But would you say the goal of this piece is to change minds?
I would say the goal of the piece is to help you remember and seduce you into understanding that we are all human beings. And that above all, el amor es radical. Love is radical. And that's one of the messages we offer, right? Because Pachuco's like, orale, there's a lot of hate going on here, no? You know what really worries me is when I hear politicians say, let's take America back. And I'm like, how far back do you want to go? Like 1950? Not even a good time to be a white woman back then.
Yeah.
Not a good time to be a Jewish filmmaker in Hollywood. You know, Google Elia Kazan. Because Latinos, we love to Google. In fact, Google is an old Latin term. No, actually, Google is an old Aztec term from the Aztec god Google Quetzalcoatli, which means look it up.
This is Pachuco. Is this the main character you'll be doing? Or
I perform 3-4 different characters. Yeah. Pachuco is just one of the comedic. He's the one that adds levity to it.
Yeah.
At the beginning, I perform the Coyote Conceptual, the Coyote, yeah. the conceptual Coyote, who opens up the space, and it's a petition to Legba, Elewa, in the Yoruba tradition. He's the trickster. He's in black and red, and he's the man at the crossroads. In fact, the big blue story is, what's his name, who's at the crossroads, who learned how to play?
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
He meets Elewa Legba at the crossroads, right?
So
New Orleans music seeps into this in that way, that hybrid genre way. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Amirani, and are you doing a character, or are you just performing your work?
I will be performing, but we have developed character. I do this one that's called Feminina Fatal.
Uh-huh.
So Femme Fatale. Since I come from a film background, I really resonated with the character. It's this idea of a killer woman, and I'm dressed as in a very traditional, folkloric, almost Mexican dress. And so me seeing that represented, for me personally, I think you always kind of expect traditional woman to be a certain way, but you add this kind of like killer theme to it, and it's like there's so much more to her. What is she? Who is she?
Now, one of the things Jose has done in this process and a lot of his project is to sort of involve local community. How has this transformed your own work? Has it had a transforming experience at all, or is it just sort of heightened your awareness of what's possible?
Yes. So I never even imagined that I'd be doing this. I was doing so much, but when Jose reached out, just having this opportunity there, it was a game changer because I started meeting so many people within the art industry themselves. We started learning so much stuff about how our work is worth as an artist. And so his knowledge and being able to meet so many different people with so many different talents, it just opens up so much more.
Yeah. So you can see Amirani along with Jordan Mazzareo and Sally Ramirez and the Art Futuro Ensemble with Jose Torres Thomas this Thursday and Friday at Living Arts of Tulsa, during all the events going on in downtown with Mayfest, the Blue Dome District, Art Car, Hop Jam. Check out this very interesting project. Jose Amirani, thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, and we want to make sure we give out a shout-out to Living Arts of Tulsa and Steve Liggett, because Laura Eccles as well, they have been amazing supporters, and we wouldn't have the vehicle without the donation.
All right. Well, Jose and Amirani, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you
so much.
New Orleans-based visual and performance artist Jose Torres-Tama and local poet and spoken word artist Amirani Perez are my guests today here on Studio Tulsa. They'll be a part of the Taco Truck Theater, Teatro Sin Fronteras project, which takes place Thursday and Friday, with the food beginning at 7, the performance beginning at 8 at Living Arts of Tulsa. Information at livingarts.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.